Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your short list of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And we're checking in on a huge journal story that uncovered how Facebook collects a wide range of very personal information from apps. The way it works is basically you give apps sensitive personal information and then they tell Facebook. At least about a dozen of them that we know of. According to testing done by the Wall Street Journal, apps often send data without any prominent or specific disclosure. What you need to know after these tech headlines. Just days after Samsung Electronics launched the industry's first mainstream foldable screen smartphone, China's Huawei Technologies upped the ante with a competing device. The Mate X features a single widescreen that folds in half when closed. Like the Samsung Galaxy Fold, the Mate X will have a folded and unfolded mode, run multiple apps at once, and be compatible with 5G. And its pricing soaring to new heights as well. We learn it will go for about $2,600, more than 30% more than the $1,980 Galaxy Fold. Speaking of Huawei, its rival, Nokia, has publicly positioned itself as the more secure option. Nokia CEO Rajeev Suri emphasized its focus on security as a selling point at this week's telecom industry conference in Barcelona. Suri said manufacturers will rely on internal high-speed wireless networks, which both Nokia and Huawei make, to connect factory components in the near future. And without security, he said, essential trade secrets will fall with those networks. Things, quote, not worth just millions, but billions, end quote. And now the tale of some young tech-savvy sneakerheads who want tomorrow's shoes today, or even yesterday. The Journal writes about how Foot Locker has a game plan to win over these sneakerheads, and the company says the key involves using vast amounts of data and being fast on its feet, Keeping up with customer service expectations of the aforementioned impatient sneakerheads will not be easy. As such, Foot Locker boosted its tech staff roughly 30% over the past 3 years, and it's building teams that work on data, apps, interfaces between apps and operating systems, AI, and machine learning. Coming up, the latest on how Facebook grapples with how it handles your very personal information.
Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your short list of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast.
Popular health and fitness apps are scrambling to stop sending very sensitive and personal information to Facebook. After the Wall Street Journal reported on Friday that many were transmitting detailed information about topics including everything from weight to menstrual cycles. Facebook said it is working on new systems to detect and block uploads of such information by apps. Let's check in with none other than Sam Schechner. He joins us from Paris via Skype. Hi, Sam.
Thanks for having me.
So let's take this back a bit. Now, the Wall Street Journal reported Friday about how so many of these very popular apps, as many as 11, were transmitting detailed information about very personal details, to say the least. It was a big revelation. And if you wouldn't mind explaining a bit about what went into this testing and what it did reveal ultimately.
Well, yeah, we set out to look at this ecosystem of apps that were sending data around the internet. And, you know, we did that by saying, okay, we're going to intercept all the traffic off of some testing phones. So with a lot of very important help from the Wall Street Journal's own data lab, we set out to do that testing. You know, I actually did some of the testing myself. And, you know, we found a lot of interesting things. The thing that was really striking that sort of set off this story was the moment where, you know, we were testing one of these apps. And in this case, it was I was testing an app for monitoring your menstrual cycles. And I noticed that as soon as I made an entry into the app, a few seconds later, boom, there was network traffic to Facebook that was basically explaining what I had done. Wow. Digging a little further, I saw that when you loaded that app, it actually sent a message to Facebook saying what type of day it was. Are you having your period? Is it an ordinary day? Are you ovulating? Are you late for your period? Or are you pregnant? You know, that kind of data was like, just boom, my opened my eyes and you know, we started digging in.
Right. So since this broke Friday, there's been a lot of cleanup and damage control that has ensued. A lot of these apps have either addressed or removed this transfer of data to Facebook. How did this play out? How does this continue to play out?
Well, I think we're still in the middle of it. You're right that we found about 11 apps, and we reached out to everybody involved in the story. So all of the apps that we had noticed, as well as Facebook, Apple, and Google before publication. And so actually one of the apps before publication, a meditation app named Breathe, had already said, our bad, we made a mistake. We're going to stop sending this kind of information to Facebook. They had been sending every user's email address and the name of the meditations they were completing, you know, which had sort of revealing names like, you know, anxiety meditation. Mm-hmm. That might tell you a little bit about your state of mind. So they turned that off. You know, before we published the Flow app that I just mentioned, the menstrual cycle and pregnancy monitoring app, had at least temporarily suspended some of its, they said they had reduced their use of third-party analytics services, including Facebook. And so then after we published, you know, I think there was a fair amount of outcry. And also we know that Facebook, as well as probably the operating systems, were reaching out to these apps. You know, there were further announcements made. Flow actually released a new version of its app and said it was pulling Facebook's SDK, the software development kit that allowed these data transfers, from its app. Other apps did, you know, made changes as well. There's a exercise and food logging app called Lose It, which is quite popular, that is no longer sending your weight and the caloric content of everything that you log to Facebook. The heart rate monitoring app that I tested that, you know, would basically the moment after it measured your heart rate using the phone, your phone's camera, send that your heart rate to Facebook, stopped doing that. But there's still several apps, actually more than half of the apps we tested were still sending information to Facebook as of yesterday when I tested.
Right. So here we are again with, you know, a breaking story from the press. Facebook, social media, et cetera, has this huge issue with personal data on their hands. And now it has to address another huge controversy. And, you know, you bring up this topic of SDKs, and it provokes the discussion about who is responsible for data shared via these SDKs that are built into all of these mobile apps. What are folks saying about it?
You know, I think that's a really good question. Facebook, for what it's worth, you know, their position is that data sharing generally is industry standard practice, that apps share a lot of data with a lot of providers. And to an extent, that's definitely true. I mean, on iOS, according to Apptopia, the average app has 19 SDKs built into it. And the number is higher on Android, something like 28. So there's a lot of players who potentially have access to your data. You know, in all cases, that doesn't necessarily mean sensitive health data. But I think that this is an evocative example that does get at this broader question. And, you know, Facebook says, listen, we tell apps not to send us sensitive information, and apps are responsible for what they send us. And, you know, they're the ones responsible for getting permission from users, giving them prominent notice. The reality is, when you look at these apps, they weren't necessarily doing that. And you didn't have to go very, very far down the popularity list to find apps that were in violation of these rules. So I think, you know, there's some people who are saying that the platforms, whether it's Facebook or it's even Apple or Google, have a greater responsibility to keep apps compliant. I mean, there's going to be millions of apps, but there's only a few big platforms. So they're the gatekeepers here. On the flip side, there's people who say, do we really want them being gatekeepers, you know, blocking what types of apps are are available.
Right.
And, you know, that's a legitimate debate to be had. But it's, you know, I think our research shows that even among the most popular apps, it's still a little bit the Wild West when it comes to collecting data.
Right. Now, it's a huge story. Sam Schechner has been covering it all. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Again, stay up to date with the very latest on Sam's coverage at WSJ.com. That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.